This meeting is now being recorded.
Thanks very much. Thank you to those who have joined. Very happy to see you. Let's just note that number one on the agenda is to discuss administrative matters. And let me ask if there's anybody who's participating on the phone who is not in the Adobe room, if they would please identify themselves now. Not hearing any, let me ask of those gathered, just one moment. There were just two phone entries that we heard. Could I ask if anybody's on the phone who's not in Adobe yet, would they please identify themselves? Okay, I just assumed those folks were in Adobe already. If anyone has an update or a change to their statement of interest or anything to note about their statement of interest, could they please do so now? Not seeing or hearing anything. Let's move on to agenda item number two. But before we do that, Caboose, let me just ask you, you were expressing a concern about the quorum. I believe that we're at a quorum now and we can proceed forward. If you feel otherwise, Caboose, could you comment now? Caboose, your hand's up. Go ahead, take the floor, please.
Sorry, I have no problem to start the meeting, but for the first reading, we need a quorum. I don't think that 8 people or 9 people are sufficient for quorum, first reading, unless you submit that to the CCWD, saying that this is the result of this number of the people, and ask them how they want to take it. It is up to them. But I think for the start of the meeting, to resolve all of the issue, I have no difficulty because still there are some pending issues. I hope that people would not push a lot for their own view, and we agree whatever we have already agreed. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Caboose. I think we have enough to go forward, and in the way that we're handling this now, in my view, is both with a combination of the list and the calls. And so I'm hoping that we can move forward, and thank you for that. So the second item I put on the agenda was just a request for volunteers on issues, and Greg had the good idea of creating a sign-up sheet. Bernie is taking some steps in that respect. And so I'm going to ask if Bernie could comment on that right now.
Thank you. Brenda, could we bring up the sheet? All right. Thanks, everyone. You've seen the email. The Google Doc is up, and we've got it in the window here. Let me try to make that just a bit bigger. Nothing too fancy here. We've got the comment groupings on the left-hand side, person analyzing, and everyone has editing rights here. So if you want to pick up a topic, you just need to write your name in there that you'll be having a look at that particular topic, and then staff and David will be handling updating the status as we go along. The only point that we may want to have a look at is if we got the comment grouping right, and I'll run through them very quickly just to be sure everyone understands them. And I do understand that on some screens this may look a little small, so let me try to get that a little bigger again. So the comment groupings we've got, and I'll get to you in a second, Caboose. 45 days, consensus policy, discovery, evidence, and statements, joinder, notice, under the heading of other, and these are just alphabetically sorted and not by importance. Ongoing monitoring, under other we have payment of fees, under other we have WTO rules for least developed countries, under panel we have renewal, under panel we have conflict of interest, we have repose, we have retroactivity. We have retroactivity substantive standards. We have standing, bracket materially affected, and we have translation and interpretation. So after going through everything we got for comments and discussions on the list recently, this is what we thought would handle the various comments. Caboose, over to you.
Thank you. Just understand, what are these topics? You need to volunteer for discussion on this topic, or these are the topics that we have already discussed and we just want to put them into the document of proceedings? So I don't understand the issue of volunteer to do what? To talk about again 45 days or for the 12 months or consensus building? What is the issue? So maybe I have missed something and I apologize if I missed that, and please kindly, if possible, remind us what is the issue of these volunteers. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. It's David speaking again, and it's a good request for clarification from you, so thanks very much for that. What we're looking for here is for people to volunteer to take an issue and lead the discussion. And so Bernie has just done this. I've been tied up most of today. Usually I have time, a little bit more time, to get ready before our call starts, and I would have filled in some of this information. But obviously I've taken lead on a number of these issues. But there are other issues. So the person analyzing column will be filled in probably tomorrow morning by me with my name in certain places. Malcolm's name will appear beside 45 days and beside repose, if that's okay with Malcolm. But you'll see my name in some of those, and there'll be some left. And what we're looking for with the some left is if people would please volunteer to pick up the issue and simply lead the discussion. Much as I've done with some of the memos I've sent on the email on things like consensus policy, et cetera, and what I typically do is indicate who has made comments in this respect and put a link to their comments, what the issue might be, what recommendations I make. There's a template that I've used that's in the email, and I'd be happy to resend something along those lines if needed. But where I don't think we have anyone analyzing yet, and I'll start at the bottom and go up just because it's a little bit easier, translation and interpretation, I don't believe that's being handled yet. Other, WTO rules for least developed countries, I don't think anyone's handling that. Other, payment of fees, I don't think that's being handled. Other, ongoing monitoring, I don't think anyone's handling that. And discovery, evidence, statements, I don't think that's yet been taken. Some of these will be a little bit more complex, like discovery, evidence, and statements. Some of these, and I'll use the example of ongoing monitoring, other-ongoing monitoring, will be fairly simple. If I'm not mistaken, that comment came in from the ALAC asking for ongoing monitoring of IRP, and I believe the bylaws already provide that the IRP process will be subject to a review similar to the ATRT review every 5 years or so. And so that's what we're looking for. And then the status column would simply show, you know, under review or being prepared for first reading, et cetera. That's what we're looking for here, Caboose. Does that answer your question? If you're speaking, Caboose, we can't hear you.
Do we need somebody to lead the discussion? Because, for instance, some of the issues you just raised and you replied in 2 minutes, and why do you need that? The only thing that I am not aware we have discussed at all is WTO rules for the least developed countries, and I don't know what is that issue. The other issue for me is more or less clear, accepting substantive standards, so on the retroactivity. The WTO, I am not aware of what the issue is, but the remaining, I don't think we need a lead group for discuss the 45 days again or discuss repose of 12 months again. We have discussed sufficiently for many, many hours, so why do we need a lead to do that, to reopen the discussion? Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. What I'm looking for, this is sort of a personal initiative of mine, what, and I'm modeling it on what Greg has done in the jurisdiction group, what I'm looking for is two things. One is raising, you're right, I mean, I could raise the issues as the lead of the group, and I've done that in a number of instances, but I worry sometimes that it's not fair to the group that I take the lead on everything in case people get worried that we're getting one point of view sort of making recommendations and things of that nature. And the other is I could use the help, to be honest with you. Today's a good example. Normally I would put a couple hours of preparation into a call, and today I put none into this call just because things have I'm just tied up here in my office a little bit unexpectedly all day. So that's just the way that happens. So it's in the nature of help, too. So that's where it's coming from. I'd like to ask Bernie if he was finished with his comments on this sign-up sheet.
I am indeed.
Thank you, Bernie. So what I'm going to ask Bernie to do is if after the call he could put, you know, out to the list the link to the document, and I'm just asking if people would take a look, and if they can, take an issue that, I'm sorry, maybe not after this call. Bernie, wait until you and I coordinate tomorrow after I fill in some names. Malcolm, I hope that you don't mind if we put your name in on 45 days and repose. But then once we fill in the blank, once we fill in that column on the person analyzing, then I'll ask Bernie to put this out on list with a link to the sign-up sheet so that people might take a look and see if they could help out taking the lead. Malcolm, if that's not okay with you.
That's fine with me.
Okay, thank you. And Bernie, is that okay with you?
Well, maybe not, given I've already sent the link to this list.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. If I missed that then, that's fine. People, just be aware that we're going to fill in some of the things that we're already discussing, and I'll try and have that done by tomorrow. Thanks, Bernie. No problem. So I think we can move to agenda item number 3, which is to sort of come to a final discussion, is my hope, of the timing issue. This is not that people comment on every facet of the argument, but in the last couple of weeks, both Malcolm as lead and with a certain point of view, and Liz with a different point of view, have made some entries on the email list. I'd like to sort of give each of them a chance to restate them briefly, and then Malcolm as lead could try and help us figure out where we are on the timing issue. It's possible we could close it now, or maybe we have to close it on the list. But in either event, I'll first turn to Malcolm, if that would be okay with Malcolm.
Okay, thank you, David. Well, I mean, I think we've had a very full discussion of this subject. We arrived at a consensus on 120 days after the person had become was aware or ought reasonably to have been aware of the harm that they'd suffered, then the ICANN Legal asked for time to present consideration of any specific problems that might have, and that was the time that was allocated for Liz to come up with an email on the subject. But from my reading of that, I don't see any that discloses any concrete problems, just a difference in perspective. From my perspective, the essential thing is that the IRP purpose, which promises that all materially affected parties are able to challenge ICANN's actions for their compatibility with the bylaws, is fulfilled. And that cannot be achieved if a party is not able to file a challenge, even if they act immediately, they have been harmed. So I accept the advice from our independent legal counsel that have said that the knowledge of the claimants must be the starting date for the timing issue. I certainly do not believe that it can be moved before the person even became affected. and therefore had a right to bring a challenge. So that's my perspective.
Thank you, Malcolm. Liz, would you like to comment in addition to your mail?
Yes, David, thank you so much, and thank you, Malcolm. I think from an ICANN standpoint, we believe that we've relayed our position and objections on this issue in our PAC meetings and also through email. We think that the removal of an outside bar creates a material change to what was put out for public comment. But at this point, we also think if the IoT wishes to proceed with putting this out there, ICANN will not stand in the way of the IoT putting it forth to the proposal to the community for input. We definitely think that this is something that should be provided to the community for input, and it's beyond just a Malcolm, Sam, and Liz issue. So that having said that, I don't know what the next step would be and how this would get updated. I don't know if there's going to be direction. Do you intend to have direction to Sidley about updating this rule? And I think we'd like a little bit more information on that part.
Thanks, Liz. This is David speaking, and I will answer the latter part first, and I'll ask Bernie to come in and comment afterwards if I misstate anything here with respect to the rules or how we're supposed to proceed. But it's my understanding that what Malcolm would do as the lead in this issue is come to the list and say, you know, this has been a discussion. Here is the request for first reading on the timing issue, and he would state what it is, you know, I think 120 days from the date that a person's been materially harmed or should reasonably have been aware of being materially harmed, and he would wrap up what we've discussed from that perspective and put it out for first reading, and then we would, as a group, come to consensus on list or in a call, noting the point that you just made, and we would go to Sidley for a change. Once we come to what we believe is consensus, we would go to Sidley for a rewrite on the rules to take into account what we agree in this phase of the implementation oversight team and put that rewrite of the rules out with some commentary from us as to what we've done, you know, sort of a final report from our group. That's what I understand. Bernie, if I've misstated any of that or gotten any of that wrong, please correct me or tell it, you know, comment if you wish.
Thank you, David. I don't think it's a question of being wrong. It's a question of there's always an option for another public comment if the group so feels it necessary. Thank you.
Thanks. So I would assume then that we would decide that, not based on the timing thing, but once we've come to a closure on all of the issues that we have in front of us, on not all the issues, but all the issues with respect to rules. I don't think that would prevent us from going to Sidley for the rewrite. We can even do that in steps if we wish, but prior to wrapping up our rules treatment, then I take it we should discuss amongst ourselves need for another public comment. And I take it, Liz, that's what you're looking for. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Sam. I'm here with Liz, and I think that that is we'd want to evaluate the rules across to see where the substantial changes have been and if they're so substantial that another public comment is warranted, which is a typical process within ICANN. And you know, from looking at it now, our position from an ICANN internal position is that the removal of a period of repose that was previously put out for public comment would be something that would be so significant that would require a further public comment. And there might be other things that we see within the rules changes too, and then hopefully we as the IoT would go through and identify some of the areas that we wish to highlight in a communications to the community about to help focus the public comments that we receive on those areas of changes.
Thanks, Sam. So I appreciate your point of view. I think we're at a point where we can move forward in the debate on timing, I had suggested some possible workarounds, but I think that I better not mention them now and just do it on list as we move forward, maybe in when we get to the discussion of second round of comments. So unless anyone else has a comment on this issue, I think we can move to the next agenda item. And hearing or seeing none, why don't we move to item number four, which is an update if one's available. The work ICANN legal and policy teams are doing with respect to the SO and ACs. And also, Sam made a good comment about charting out the process time frame. So if there's anything else, anything new rather, Sam, that you wanted to say, this would be your chance.
Thanks, David. So just to confirm, we're working on the charting right now. We've started coordinating with our policy colleagues, letting them know that we're working on the charting and trying to time out and drafting some specific questions to ask in our outreach to the SOs and ACs. We're working with them on those items, so we'll hopefully have more updates, but it's all in process based on what we were talking about last week.
Okay. Thank you, Sam. Is there any comment, question about that? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll move on to agenda item number five, which is titled on the agenda, first reading on a certain number of issues, the first of which is joinder. Let me just pull up my document here. And on the joinder issue, you've seen the slides that I sent before, and basically where we have come down on joinder is that anybody that participated in an underlying expert panel proceeding as a party would receive notice from an IRP claimant. They would receive a copy of the notice and the request for IRP, two separate things, but together they constitute the body of the request for IRP, and they would be entitled to get those documents. That they would have such people that participated below would have a right to intervene in the IRP, but the procedures officer of the panel would have the final say on how that is executed, whether as a party or as an amicus brief. And the procedures officer would be exhorted to do their best to stick within the time frames that the bylaws call for in handling IRPs. And we have agreed to eliminate something I raised, and that is that people participating as amici would be considered parties for the limited purpose of costs on frivolous claims or frivolous arguments. So that bit, that last bit, is no longer part of it. And so we agreed to strike that. I think we've agreed on this joinder approach, and I think this could constitute a first reading, but I'm open to comments, questions right now, so the floor is open. Okay, seeing none, hearing none. I'm sorry.
This is Sam. Can you recall the date where the final joiner approach was sent?
No, but I can do it after the call or tomorrow morning. Okay. I could try and do it. Now I'll send something to the list about where this all came from.
Okay, sounds good.
I need to just take a moment to write a note. Okay. I'll just make a note. I'm almost done. Thank you. So moving on, panel conflict of interest. Now, as Bernie's sign-up sheet indicated, this has probably turned into more than one issue. And the first point in the slides is one where it appears that we're no longer of one mind, and it has to do with the panel's term. And so I think it's fair to say that this is still under discussion. So what I had sent forward as the suggested treatment on this is that there be a term limit of 5 years, as is stated in the bylaw for panelists. But that my original suggestion that an additional term be available was no longer part of our recommendation. There would be no renewal. But on the list, it's happened, and I believe that Malcolm primarily and Aubrey in support were in supporting that position. And I, that position being that there be one term with no chance for renewal. And I was of the view that there could be two terms, but I didn't feel that strongly about it and sort of backed away and said, that's fine, we'll take your approach, because in that particular call, that's really the only points of view that were being expressed, and that's how we went. But then on the list, Greg came in and thought differently. Aubrey has been reconsidering her position, and so I mentioned recently on list that I'm still of the view that another term would be good, just because of the bylaws' interest in having people who are experienced with ICANN, knowledgeable, et cetera. And Sam, I think, had pointed out in one of the chats that it's not ICANN that makes these decisions anyway. The SOs and the ACs are the ones that nominate the panelists. While the board has to approve them, that approval can't be unreasonably withheld. And so I invite people to comment on this now if they would like to. And I'm thinking of people that might be likely would be, I'll call you first in a minute, Caboose, would be Greg, Aubrey, and Malcolm. But Caboose, you have your hand up first, so why don't you take the floor?
Yes, you said that bylaw talks about one term or 5 years. Is that right?
My point is that the bylaw says a term shall be 5 years. The bylaws did not pick up the language that there should not be a renewal. They don't. I think it's silent in that respect.
Yes.
And I can actually read that. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I don't want to bother you to read that. Is it possible instead of one term of 5 years, we have two terms each 2 years with the staggered in order to have continuity of the situation and making the arrangement that half of the people will be renewed within the second term in order that you have always experienced people in the panel? I think this is an idea we discussed many times, and still it is dropped. What is the problem of a staggered? What is the problem of to have some sort of continuity that whatever you do, renewal would be in the middle of the case that some people remain from the old term and some new people coming, and then they will be familiar with the situation. So you have always this sort of continuity of somebody who has sufficient experience of the situation. Why it has been dropped? Thank you.
Thanks. Excuse me. Thank you, Caboose. David here. I think we are trying to get continuity in this. I appreciate your point. You're making a good point that continuity is important. With respect to two terms of 2 years each, the bylaws do speak of 5 years. We have in the background a separate discussion going on about staggering terms and having some panelists begin with 3 years. But we think that maybe giving them an option for a full term after that may solve that particular bylaws issue. But I think you're right, Caboose, but we have to have a five-year term as I read it. So I'm next going to turn to Greg, who's I thought Malcolm – never mind. Greg's hand is up, and he's next in the queue.
Thank you, David. I'm working from a tablet, which doesn't put people's hands in order, so, but in any case, I'll go next. I believe that there should be more than one term. I think we stick with the five-year term as called for in the bylaws, so we don't necessarily get into amending the bylaws. I would suggest, as I have before, that a single renewal be allowed. We could even consider having more than one renewal be allowed. I guess my view is that the integrity and independence are kind of essential parts of the job description, and I'm perhaps somewhat less cynical than some, and would not believe that panelists would expressly or underhandedly try to shade their opinions and findings in order to, quote unquote, keep their jobs as panelists if a renewal came along. You know, it's true perhaps that a lame duck who has no chance of being renewed in their job could somehow be more free, but I think there's, if the freedom is inherent in the job description and in the understanding, and if people who are hiring have a sense of personal integrity, and frankly, if we were to be bringing in panelists for a single term, and we believe that these panelists, but for the ability to have a second term, that if in fact they have the ability to have a second term, that these same panelists would go from being independent persons of integrity to pandering to keep their job, we probably shouldn't have those panelists in there even for an hour or a week, because we're clearly, you know, so dubious about their moral and ethical compass. I'm frankly just not that dubious. And frankly, there are lots of ways in this world that you can parlay a term as a panelist on something like this into other positions, that there's always the chance that after the term, or that there's something that can be made of it. But I think more than anything else, the way people advance their careers is by doing the best job they can and by being persons of integrity and by exhibiting independence when that is called for and exhibiting proper proper, you know, judgment. Furthermore, since everything here I think is going to be a three-person panel, the chance that any one panelist essentially throw the game, to use a U.S. term, I believe, which I apologize for, but that really is another check and balance against a panelist wanting to see a particular outcome rather than letting the facts take them where they go. So, long story short, or maybe long story long, I'm confident enough in our panelists and in human nature that I believe that a renewal term would be appropriate, would not result in judgments being made that were not evident of high integrity and independence, but instead were evident of pandering and trying to impress those who would renew their position. Lastly, I think it's important to have continuity and experience. I don't know how many IRPs any panelist will hear in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but I think we'll be better off with panelists who've been around. They may decide they don't want to do it. They've had enough. But for those that want more and are getting in the groove, so to speak, those are the panelists that we want to have continue. Last, I'd note that UDRP panelists go on essentially forever. So there's really I just don't share the concerns that others do, that somehow we're going to, prejudice the system by having the renewal system that we have. Thanks.
Greg, thank you. I'm going to go to Malcolm in a second, but before I do, I would like to just mention to Aubrey that I'd be interested if you would like to speak because you were on the fence. But before that, Malcolm, the floor is yours. Malcolm, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
I'm sorry, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Thank you. Sorry, I was on mute. Clearly, one of the most important features of the IRP is that it be truly independent. Now, I must say I agree with Greg that I would hope that the selection process would weed out anybody who had the low moral fiber, that they would deliberately throw a case that they had no faith in their judgment, but nonetheless in bad faith deliberately arrived at the wrong decision so as to curry favor with ICANN. Such a person really doesn't belong in the position for 5 minutes, just as Greg says, and I hope that we would manage to avoid that. You can never be sure, but I would hope so. But I don't think sees in quite such black and white terms as Greg does. Independence is a field, I mean, to be honest, in compliance fields, the independence area is a highly studied area of corporate governance that has got many long-standing good practice recommendations in it. And whether or not the person who is supposed to be independent is beholden to another person for a renewal of their position is one of the key markers there of a lack of independence. This is not just me saying this. This is a widely recognised marker. So, and it's nor is this a new thing. I know I was being maybe slightly wry when I was pointing out on the list to Mike, I think it was, that for the probably the best explanation of this can be found in Fentner's paper number 78, which spoke about how the most important protector of the independence of the supreme judges of the newly to be created U.S. Supreme Court would be their permanence in office. So that's making the same point. Nonetheless, I do recognize the arguments that have been made on the list about the importance of having people in place for long enough that they build up a good understanding of the system and a good level of expertise. And personally, I would have been happy if the 5-year cap had been 7 years, for example. Unfortunately, that's not allowed. So I wonder, and I don't know, David, if you saw my email on the list this afternoon, UK time, this morning, your time, in which I wondered if there was some alternative mechanism that could be got at for preserving that sense of or that characteristic that of there being the panelists not being beholden to anyone for renewal, while ensuring that there is or satisfying this concern about ensuring that they're in post for longer than 5 years. If 5 years is the longest allowed by the bylaws, but felt by this group to be too short a time to be adequate level to build up an adequate level of expertise. So I wonder if actually, rather than going for no renewal, we might say that renewal was automatic. If we can deny a discretion in renewal, if we stop both ICANN and the SOs from arbitrarily removing someone at the renewal time, saying, "Oh well, we think it's good time for some fresh blood," or anything that's not an overt retaliation for an unfavorable decision, but nonetheless a purely arbitrary exercise of discretion. If instead we said that renewal would be automatic, or renewal would be automatic unless there was removal for cause of a panelist, then that would satisfy the arguments that I've been making about the value of no renewal for independence by another route, and a route that would also seek to satisfy the concerns about allowing people to remain longer in office so as to build up a greater level of expertise. So I offer that as a possible alternative approach to it.
Thank you, Malcolm. David here. To answer an immediate question, no, I have been tied up all day and have not really seen the mail from this morning, so my apologies. But hearing you now, I think that has promise, and I'm going to ask you a question about it. But first, Caboose had his hand up after
I
you.
I see Greg in the chat as well.
Right. But I'd like to go back to the queue.
Yes, David, I'm sorry. Please apologize me if I'm so open and so clear. I'm always a straightforward person. There is no absolute independence. I don't know anyone. I have been working with many people during these 3 years for almost 80 or 90%. I don't think you could put absolute independence. Independence is a relative issue. It is a sort of qualification to it. So we should not push too much for independence on the expense of continuity. In my view, if we can work from the concept of not at any moment having all panelists new, then we could work out how we could achieve that without touching the issue of independence. Can we or cannot we work out on this, that at no moment all members of the panel should be new persons? How we could work it out, how we should divide the terms, at least half of them or two-thirds or some fraction of them to be always from the old panel experience, and in order that people maintain this continuity. It's not experience that they have before coming to panel. The issue of the panel and the process of the panel, in my view, is almost a new issue. It's different from what we're doing today. Because there's a lot of importance that to be paid to that. So why not we could work out this to have to avoid to have at any moment all panelists be new? How we could work it out? Thank you.
Thank you, Caboos. Aubrey is next in the queue.
Thanks, this is Aubrey speaking. Yeah, I wrote most of what I was thinking on the issue in the chat. I still sort of remain on the fence, though. I still tend to the single term. I think there's a fine line. When Greg speaks of it, he draws a sharp boundary between pandering and remaining independent. There's a whole middle ground of having accepted the mindset and become sympathetic or antipathetic to it over the course of 5 years. And so while one might not be pandering in any conscious way, they have joined the tribe and have drunk the Kool-Aid. So I worry about that aspect of things. I don't really have a problem with that if it's all the SOs and ACs that are evaluating and deciding. But as long as there's a choke point that is in the board's hand that says yay or nay to a choice, and that can be for a stated reason that may be similar to or different than a reason that, gee, this one's always, you know, this one's always the primary author or always the one that questions us hard. Is always the one is something that can be used as a reason to not renew one. So I really still very much tend towards with no ill intention or prophesied on anyone, just human behavior. I tend to be very much still in the single long enough term. So 5 years is great. Even 10 years is fine in my mind, but not anything where they have to appeal to a power group that can say yes or no. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Greg is next in the queue, and after Greg, I'll make some comments and we'll move on. We have 12 minutes left in this call.
Thanks, Greg. I'm not quite as bright line as some have said, but I recognize there is a spectrum. But I think that in terms of there's also a spectrum of harm, if you will, from losing talent. And I think that I'm not sure that they kind of will have drunk the Kool-Aid, since as independent panelists, and I think we have a requirement that the panelists not be active in ICANN in a number of stated different ways. So, for instance, if I wanted to be a panelist, I would have to resign from all working groups and from leadership of the IPC, and possibly from the IPC as well. So we're actually talking about people kind of undrinking the Kool-Aid, in a sense, which is, I think, another check and balance on independence, is that we're looking for people who are kind of able to cope with ICANN based on, you know, prior knowledge or the like, but not part of the Kool-Aid drinking club or any of the several Kool-Aid drinking clubs that exist, each with their own antipathies and propathies, or whatever the opposite of an antipathy is. So, again, I think I like Malcolm's approach. I think it kind of comes to the middle on the issues. We could have if we don't want to change the bylaws, recognizing that adds an additional hurdle, having the 5-year renewal essentially be mechanical, basically taking any kind of broad discretion or ability to change for any reason or no reason out of the hands of at least ICANN, but possibly the SOACs may also have that issue. They may feel that there's somebody they want to get rid of because they're too favorable to ICANN. But I think if we have kind of a for-cause type of concept, that, you know, other than for some stated and fairly significant reasons, they'll continue to their second 5-year term without, you know, having to pander to anyone, with any pandering probably being counterproductive and certainly not productive, you know, I think that's a way to solve the issue of keeping people around long enough that they are really useful, and yet, you know, removing, you know, any incentives or any significant amount of incentive for them to shade their opinions or their behavior in order to curry favor. So, long story long, I think Malcolm is coming to the middle, and when Malcolm's in the middle, I think that's a good place to be.
Okay, thank you, Greg. I see that both Caboose, well, Malcolm, I thought your hand was up, but Caboose, you want to make another comment, so I'm going to give you the floor, but ask you to keep it very brief. As we try and wrap this discussion, I realize that this issue, panel conflict of interest, as described in the slides, is not yet ready for first reading. But go ahead, Caboose. Caboose, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Do you hear me? I said that,
yep.
Where this magic figure 5 coming from? Why 5? I have no problem with renewal or renewable term, but why 2 times 5? Why not 2 times 3 and why not 2 times 4? It would be 2 lines if you have 2 times 5. I don't know. Maybe you take presidential period of some countries, the 5, but where the 5 comes from? It's 2 lines. And also, I'm sorry to say that I don't agree with Avery saying that she has no problem with 1 term but 10 years. 10 years is 2 long. Really, renewable, there are maybe some conditions and so on, but 10 years is too long. So I suggest that we consider if we could have renewable, but not 2 times 5, but maybe 2 times 3 or 2 times 4. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. The term of 5 years for a panelist is in the bylaws, and I think that's what we have to work with right now. But I also note to this group, even though this issue is not ready for first reading, Caboose raised a good point about we have to take steps, and we're considering steps, that not all of the panelists, except at the beginning, not all of the panelists be new. And it's the ICANN. Sam, I think, originally gave us the idea for staggered panels, and it's something I think we need to pursue somehow. It's a very good point. So let me just say this about the whole issue of panel conflict of interest. It actually is a couple of issues. I think I need to recast this, and I'll do it on list, and try and break out the term thing into one separate bucket and deal with the rest of that slide separately. And I'm to try and get us to closure fairly quickly. The idea that Malcolm suggested, automatic renewal, I think has some promise in it, except for the fact that we're dealing with five-year terms. And so with automatic renewal, I think we need to put some procedures in there, such as the SOs or ACs, you know, have the right to bless it. I think ICANN should have a chance to request SOs or ACs not to. I mean, there should be some kind of a process that there's a that even if the renewal is, quote, automatic, except for some exceptional circumstance, that it's clear that how that circumstance works and who has a say in it. Aubrey's point is a good one, too. So it's a difficult issue. I need to try and rethink it and rework it for the list. And it's taken up a good portion of this call, which is fair enough. In fact, I really appreciate the input of everybody, especially Greg and Malcolm on this. And in future, when this issue comes up, I think I'll point people that are not on this call to this call, the transcript or the recording, and say, listen to this. This is a pretty crisp discussion of what the issues are here. So thank you on that. On agenda item number 5, we still have retroactivity and standing, which are fairly fairly straightforward, but we have 5 minutes left. And so before I go to those and challenges to consensus policy, I just wanted to ask that Bernie and I comment about I'm moving to item number 7 now, just have a brief discussion on list, that we're moving to a point where we're not going to be able to meet the deadline that we have, which is disappointing. Our deadline, which includes, you know, staff putting their work on top of ours, I believe is May 29th. So we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with this respect. I'm starting to think that we will be we would be fortunate to have this in time, wrapped up in time for ICANN 59. But I'm interested in what people think about that. Greg, your hand's up, so why don't you take the floor?
I was actually going back on the last point that you made on the previous subject.
No, that's okay.
Say that I put 4.3J.
No, that's okay.
I put 4.3J into the chat, which says that removal can be for expected cause in the nature of corruption, misuse of position, fraud, or criminal activity. And I would suggest that those could also be the standards for non-renewal at the end of the first five-year term. And I think that could be just in the rules. That doesn't need to have evidence a change in the bylaws any more than having a single term would, as opposed to renewing terms, would change in the bylaws. So I think we have in the bylaws the answer to the question you raised, which is how do we deal with having an all but automatic renewal, but yet somehow have some ability to deal with folks that have gone off the rails completely. And so I think corruption, misuse of position, fraud, or criminal activity are all pretty heavyweight problems, and I think would be a good good standard for non-renewal, and then anything other than that would essentially lead to the second five-year term. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. David here. I also note that 4.3, you're right, that's a good quote from 4.3J. That provision actually goes on to say that it's up to this team to come up with rules how to apply that standard, which is something we'll do. That's not part of the rules of procedure, at least not in my mind critical for getting the IRP up and standing, but it is something we need to do as a group. So thank you for that. Back to our work and our deadline and how we're proceeding. I personally am encouraged. I think that we're actually hitting good issues. We're having good discussions on list and in this group, and I want to continue that. That's why I'm looking for volunteers to pick up issues. I'm going to try and recast this panel conflict of interest in the coming week. I'm going to re-tee up retroactivity, standing, and materially affected, and also the challenge to consensus policy. But in the meantime, I'll be talking with Bernie about our deadline and how we're going to handle this. And I'll come to the list with a with thoughts on it, but we need to handle it probably by the next call. Just decide what are we going to do with this. It's not good to keep setting deadlines that we might miss. And so I'll also note that I think it was Malcolm may have asked me. I saw an email, a glimpse of an email this morning where someone was asking about what other things we must do beyond the rules. And so it'd be good for us to take stock of that. That's one reason I sent along a mail that I had sent to the CCNSO. But we have some possible role with cooperative engagement process. I know that group has asked us once in a while about some input. We might want to consider whether we want to say anything about conciliation discussions, think more about rules for appeals, things of that nature. So there's plenty to talk about there, but we're at the end of this call. So these are the things that are in our future, our immediate future. Caboose, your hand's up. I'm going to give you a chance to make the final comment.
Yes, final comment on the deadline. Does it help if you extend that deadline by 10 to 15 days? Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. I think we could, but I'm not sure that's sufficient. I think it will help us get to a good position to discuss this next week if that sign-up sheet is filled in, if we know that there's people handling issues. So thank you for that. I think 10 to 15 days wouldn't do it right now, but I think this is a discussion we have to have next week. We should talk about it. And so I'm trying to create that idea. So I think we're done. Caboose, I see your hand. Is that a new hand? Nope, it's not. So unless anyone has a final comment, I actually think we've made a lot of progress. I'm very grateful for everybody that weighed in on the panel term. That's an important thing for us. And I think we had some very good discussions about it today. And so I'm also grateful for Malcolm and Liz and Sam commenting on timing. So off we go. We'll see you next week. I'll be out there on the email list, and I'll talk with Bernie in the meantime on some ideas for deadline and things like that. But please do take a look at the sign-up sheet. I'll try and populate it as to where it currently stands by the end of the day tomorrow. So that's the end of this call, and I'd like to thank everybody for attending. Thank you.